Welcome to Authors on Tour Live, a weekly podcast for people who love to hear about books from the authors themselves. Presented by Belco Credit Union. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. My name is Darren Fote, and today we are podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore, one of the premier independent bookstores in the nation, with three locations in the Metro Denver area. You can visit www.authorsontourlive.com for a complete list of upcoming podcasts. Wait a minute, it's time to begin.
Good evening. First of all, I'd like to thank you for coming out to the Tattered Cover Bookstore and supporting your locally owned and independent businesses. I am pleased to introduce this evening's guest speaker, stand-up comedian, writer, the woman who does not get discouraged by anything, Miss Elizabeth Beckwith. And she's here tonight to present her new book, what I was calling The Revolutionary Parent's Guide, Raising the Perfect Child Through Guilt and Manipulation. So please join me in welcoming Elizabeth Beckwith.
Oh, thank you, my people. Hi, thank you for coming in this weather. I guess you guys are used to it. I'm from California. If we had this, it'd be like, school's closed. Like, everything would stop. Like, it's half an inch of snow. Give it for everybody. It's an emergency. I don't know. I was just walking in these shoes was quite challenging for me. But yes, this is my book, Raising the Perfect Child Through Guilt and Manipulation. And basically what happened, the reason I wrote this book was, when I was getting ready to have my first child, I read a lot of real parenting books. And let me just say, this is sort of like part memoir, part instructional spoof. They call it a spoof. It's in the humor section. I stand behind these methods. They work. I'm living proof. But I read a lot of these real parenting books, and they scared the crap out of me, because all of them at some point posed the question, like, what is your parenting philosophy? What is your style of discipline? You really need to have this formed. And I was like, what? Is it, can I register for that at Babies R Us? Like, what? Or please, someone give me that for a shower gift. Like, what are you talking about? And so then I thought, well, I'm just going to do what my parents did. Because clearly they're geniuses. I think we all can agree I'm awesome. So I took a deep breath and I sat down and I started thinking about my childhood. And the more I thought about the way we were raised, the more ridiculous it seemed, because we had no formal discipline in our house. We were never grounded. We were never put in time out. What was that? That's just something my dad would yell about when watching basketball. Like, what? There was none of these sort of things you hear about, you know. And yet we were all really good kids, I humbly say. No one's here to dispute this, so let's just roll with it. We were all excellent. I thought, how? And when we did do something wrong, we were filled with so much shame and guilt that any further punishment, quite frankly, would have been child abuse. It's like our parents had this psychological hold over us that was like freaking genius. It's like, how do they do it? I must distill this into a tangible philosophy for the masses. And basically, my parents, you know, because honestly, I realized I had the ability to give people a great gift, the gift of raising a child exactly like me. And I knew I had to get started immediately. Can you imagine? What a world! Really, my parents, though, they taught, you know, there were none of these, like, abstract lectures about how it's wrong to steal. You know what I mean? Like, you see on, like, sitcoms, and dad sits the kid down, oh, I want to talk to you, son. You know, stealing's wrong. You know, please. You know, in our house, it would just be like, we were sitting around the table. My dad would be yelling, you know, what the hell is this? You believe this, son of a bitch? What kind of sick bastard steals from his own family? You gotta be a real lowlife. And I'd just be like, oh, I will never steal from anybody. I don't want to be a lowlife. You know, meanwhile, they gave us tons of hugs, encouragement. We could do anything. And they said terrible things about everybody else. And I never wanted to be like one of those jerks that my parents were so clearly disgusted disgusted by. And really, it was like there was an unspoken philosophy in our house where it's like, we do things a certain way, and everyone else is an asshole. And people ask me, they're like, well, Elizabeth, who are these assholes? You know, and I have a list of them in my book, so that's helpful. I'm not going to read the entire list to you, spoiler alert, but you know, parents who, I'll just, a couple little, parents who party with their kids, what is that? You know what I mean? That's just, give me a break. Sloppy drunk people in general. Like, I'm not going to pretend I haven't been, like, publicly intoxicated and embarrassing at many points in my life. But, you know, the point is, I frown on this in front of my children. Do you know what I'm saying? If I see that going, I'm going to make a comment to them and be like, oh, disgusting. What fools. So they get the message. They don't want to be like these people. Clean it up. You know, you're not in college anymore. Don't be the loser puking in the parking lot. That's all I have to say. Okay. It goes on and on. And then, but more importantly than the list of the assholes, and only because we're near the children's section. Although I'd put me on the list if I said it too loud. You see what I mean? It's a slippery slope. More important than the who the assholes are is what you say about them. See, the commenting, as I call it. You know, my parents, our whole lives, would comment on people, and this is how we learn things. Like I said before, they would never outright say, you can't do that, or don't ever dress this way. It would just be like, they would make, how does she look like a hooker or what? That's not even flattering. She's got no ass, by the way. I don't know why she thinks those pants look good on her. You know, men don't like that. You know, a lot of messages are coming to me on that one. How many Quaaludes did this guy take today? I realize Quaaludes hasn't been a threat to our nation's youth in quite some time, but it was a reference my mother used, so I have a soft spot for it. And a lot of people feel it's controversial to use a drug reference with your child, but I say again, this is an opportunity. You know what I mean? So they'll say, what's a Quaalude, mommy? And you say, it's a drug, honey. It puts people in a trance. Look at this guy. He's off in la-la land. When's the last time you think he showered? He probably lives in a dumpster somewhere, but pray for him. Because it's not just about the comment, it's about virtue and praying for people who need help. So there's a lot of mixed messages here, and I find those very helpful. So those are just a few comments. And the great thing about this technique is it's not just reserved for sort of man on the street play-by-play. A great way to use this is when watching reality television. You know, a lot of times, like all my friends who are parents, like their worst fear is like their kid watching some sleazy reality show. You know, you walk in the room, it's just like, that's not appropriate, and you know, shut it off. You know, I say that again, this is an opportunity. You walk in the room and you say, what the hell is this? Six people showering together? They might as well be scrubbing themselves with a loofah full of gonorrhea. At a certain point, it becomes the opposite of a shower. And then you don't shut it off. You leave it on, and you just walk out of the room and let the shame and the guilt wash over them like a tidal wave. And maybe they'll keep watching that show, but they'll never be on that show. And that's all you care about. So sometimes I get letters from people. Remember letters? Asking me for advice, and rightly so. I got a lot of gems. Here's one that moved me. They're recording this, just the audio, but it's a shame because you can't see my hilarious facial expressions. They're very subtle. Just know, anyone listening, they're really special. Dear Elizabeth, I think I'm on the right track with my daughters, but how can I influence all of the lost young women of America who seem all too willing to let it all hang out like a floozy? Sincerely concerned. And that's right, I'm bringing back the word floozy. One floozy at a time. It's time. I won't read you my entire response, but when I got this, I knew exactly what this woman was talking about. I mean, at least my interpretation was like she's talking about like these Girls Gone Wild videos. Okay, can we talk about that for a second? You turn on the TV, these girls, what the hell is going on? There's circus music, there's boobs. I don't know what happened, but it disturbs me on many levels. So I suggest to this woman that she write an open letter to the young women of America. And I give an example in my book of one that I wrote. And I'll read that to you today. And feel free to use this in your own periodicals in your town, which this is your town, obviously. Girls, please stop going wild. An open letter to the young women of America. Dearest young women of America, it has come to my attention over the past several years that many of you enjoy going wild. By this, I refer to the countless videos of hot co-eds flashing their breasts that are offered to me every time I sit down for an evening of Comedy Central. Apparently, people who enjoy reruns of Chappelle's Show also enjoy the hilarity of girls in G-strings licking each other's nipples. Upon first viewing of these advertisements, I must admit that my heart broke. I thought to myself, look at these poor young lesbians. Unable to express their love for each other publicly, they're forced to hide out in what appears to be a low-budget production trailer and do their topless French kissing in there. God forbid they should be allowed to fondle each other out in the open on their college campus. Oh no, some meathead frat guy would probably gay bash at the first sight of two naked girls rubbing their asses together while seductively eating ice cream cones. Oh, the gross intolerance. Then it was explained to me by a good friend that these weren't real lesbians at all, but young heterosexual girls attempting to titillate men with their girl-on-girl lovemaking. Can you imagine? I was shocked. Oh, what a tangled web we weave, ladies. It is easy to blame others. The media, the culture, poor role models. But as you stand on a speedboat, four jello shots in, holding a can of whipped cream over your best friend's genitals, you may want to take a good, hard look into the slightly reflective bottom of that can and ask the topless girl staring back some tough questions. For starters, how badly do I want that Girls Gone Wild t-shirt? I realize this is a badge of honor in some circles, the sorority girl equivalent of the Girl Scout cookie badge. But the reality is, and I hate to be the one to break it to you, you're about to shoot a porno, and all you got was a lousy t-shirt. At least real porno actresses get cash and cocaine. Second, what would my parents think? For some of you, this may be a bit of a loaded question. Your father may have a collection of these sorts of DVDs stashed away in the basement rec room. Imagine when Daddy gets his latest video in the mail. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. As he locks himself in the basement, deftly removing his pants, only to be greeted by the image of you. Clad only in Mardi Gras beads. Jokingly making your tits swirl around like airplane propellers. Have you seen that one? I think you will both learn a valuable lesson that day. Lastly, can I ever imagine regretting this someday? If you quickly answer no, then I can only imagine that your goals in life do not reach far beyond that of professional escort or political scandal participant or some combination of the two. Please, think hard about this one. Pardon me for a moment as I turn into my mother, but whatever happened to mystery? Please imagine pomp and circumstance playing under the remainder of this. There was a time when guys got themselves all hot and bothered imagining what was going on under a girl's sweater. Nowadays, a lot of you young gals prefer to let it all hang out, parading your flesh all over MySpace in a kind of slutty one-upmanship that once upon a time took place only in brothels and the imaginations of GIs. I guess what I'm trying to say is, before you lift up your shirt, pull off your undies, or loofah your roommate's hoo-ha in the shower, all while making over-the-top sexy faces into the camera, pause for a moment and think. I know it's more difficult for some of you than others, especially after multiple shots of Purple Hooter. But please make an attempt. Sure, a lot of dumbass guys will think you're hot, but they'll also probably think that you have chlamydia. May God bless you and keep you from acting like a hoe. I'm sorry, I couldn't resist. Sincerely, Elizabeth Beckwith. And if I can do one thing with my book, as get rid of those videos somehow, I will have accomplished something. So please feel free to use this letter yourselves. And that's really the end of my formal, wasn't that formal, were we kidding, presentation. So if anyone has any questions, I'd be happy to attempt to answer them in a fashion that seems like I know what I'm talking about. Yes. Oh, you had a face like you were asking a question. Oh, no. Okay.
No. So you're talking about walking in on your kids watching television.
Right.
Yours are still pretty young. Are they watching really terrible stuff?
No. I mean, no. They don't watch the Kardashians or whatever. Can you imagine? I like Blue's Clues and Chloe and whatever her name is. Go to Miami. No, they don't. But if they do watch a show and there's like something bad happening, sometimes in those cartoons, there's all kinds of nonsense. I will take it up. Like, for example, this has nothing to do with like talking about, you know, the reality television stuff, but there's this one kid's show, Caillou. Oh, for the love of God. My son loves this show, and the kid on it is so whiny. So whiny. Like, Caillou. Like, oh, he makes me nuts. Like, I can't stand him. So I'll always comment, like, Caillou, what's Caillou's deal? Ugh. He's so whiny, right? Ugh, you know, and then when my son whines, sometimes I'll be like, what's up, Caillou? You know, kind of really get the message across. Then he's like, I'm not like Caillou right now. I don't know if that's a good technique. Anyway, did I kind of answer your question? Anybody else have any? Yes.
How old are your kids?
3.5 and 1.5. Yes. This is more really based on how I was raised.
No, I know. But
so, yes, I'm just starting. I'm muddling through these methods myself and trying to own them. And I always think, like, what would my mom do right here? And then I try and do it and be believable. Well, if anybody has purchased the book and they'd like me to sign it, I'll be sitting here at this table like Santa Claus. Huh? Look at that. I feel like, right? You can tell me what you want for Christmas if you want to.
You normally don't do the lap sitting, but that's totally...
Yeah, that could be awkward. We'll do that on a case by case.
Okay.
No. Okay. Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God.
That's all for tonight's Author on Tour. I'm Darren Fode, and we have been podcasting live from the Tattered Cover Bookstore in Denver, Colorado. Authors on Tour Live has been presented by Belco Credit Union. Belco has been serving members' financial needs since 1936. Visit www.belco.org/authors.asp to learn more about how Belco can help you. Stay pod tuned in the coming weeks for many more authors as we podcast Authors on Tour.